What is up? Hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Are We There Yet podcast. This is a special episode. I suppose it should be more so like the Am I There Yet podcast, because today's episode is just me. Nikki's not currently here, so you get an episode of just my voice the entire time. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. We've had a lot of you guys reaching out with all sorts of random questions since we started the podcast, and I figured why not do an entire episode just doing like a Q&A or like an Ask Me Anything. So that's what we've got today. And I've got some really good questions. I asked you guys on Instagram to send me some questions or, you know, just some stuff that you guys want to know. There's an entire assortment of questions, all kinds of things from funny questions to serious questions, work questions. You know, I think it'll be a really interesting episode, just something different and something fun. So hopefully you get something out of this. Hopefully you can learn something, whether it's just about me or whether it's something that's work related. Let's get right into it. The first question is actually pretty appropriate, and it is, there you go, you heard Salem. You heard Salem for the very first time on the podcast. That's him having a little shake. Anyway, the first question is, where did Nikki go? Now, Nikki's not here. She's going to be back with me in about a week and a half's time. She's currently just on spending some time with a friend of hers who she hasn't seen in a long time. So she'll be back soon. She'll be back in maybe the next episode or the one after that. We will see. But I promise she's coming back. She didn't leave me and run away. Next question comes from Brian Chachuta. Hopefully I said that right. He says, sock, shoe, or sock, shoe, shoe? Now, this is a really good question, I think, because, you know, it really dictates whether you are a normal human being or a robot, depending on how you do this. Also, if you have no idea what they're talking about the order in which you put your socks and shoes on. For me, it's always sock, and then shoe, shoe. And never do sock, shoe. That's scary. I can't imagine doing that. For me, I put my socks on. I'm like dawdling around the house, still getting ready for probably like another 15 minutes before I even put my shoes on. Like my shoes is the last thing I do. Socks comes well before being completely ready. So I do sock, shoe, shoe. Thanks for that, Brian. Blake underscore 98 says, what advice would you give to a new or young photographer who wants to pursue photography as a career? This is a tricky question. There's not just like a really simple, easy answer to this. I would say, you know, go back and listen to a few episodes of our podcast to start with. But there is so much to learn from YouTube and other people's podcasts. And honestly, like, you know, just actually trying it is a really big thing. But I think that the biggest piece of advice I can give is don't get discouraged when stuff doesn't work straight away. You know, there's hurdles, and it's like with everything, there's always a learning curve. And I think it's important to know to just not get discouraged by that, because there's nothing wrong with screwing something up or things taking longer than you think they should. And I suppose the second thing, I'm gonna throw in a little sneaky second answer here for that one question, but just try a ton of different stuff. Because I didn't really like figure out what I absolutely love to do until probably like a year in. Like I still like taking photos of everything, but for work stuff, I now know exactly what I love to do. And I think that that's a really important thing to like lock in or like figure out your niche. So that's my second tip, is try a bunch of different stuff until you figure out the things that you really, really, really like. Next question is from mn.ust. This actually ties in pretty well to the last one. And the question is, what exactly do you do for work? More explained. Whew, I didn't even know where to begin with this. It's a very interesting concept of like what we do for work and what I do for work, but I think that the perception is that I post a photo on Instagram and that's my job. And there's way more to it than that. Instagram is a very small portion of what I actually do for work. A lot of my work comes from like the commercial side of it, stuff that you guys never see on social media. It doesn't really appear on Instagram. I don't put it on my, like some of the stuff doesn't even go on my website because, you know, there's, depending on the clients you work with, there's restrictions on where you can and can't put stuff. But a lot of the work that I actually do is commercial photography. That's the main thing. And most of that is in product photography. Now, I'm not talking about white background studio product photography, like the kind of stuff you'd see on Amazon or on a website. I like to do lifestyle product photography and really giving a product that otherwise wouldn't have a story, giving it a story. And like kind of, you know, showing how it's used and used in different places and how people would interact with that and giving a bit of life to that product. That's like my bread and butter. That's what I do predominantly for work. I also do product videography, which is kind of a similar thing to the photos, but now you're doing it in a video format and still telling a story. So that's something else that I also do. And then of course, Instagram is there on the side as well. It's just not as big of a portion as people think it is. I think a lot of my family and friends just assume that Instagram is how I make most of my money and that's how I actually live, but it's really not. Instagram is great. It's like an extra little bit to have here and there, but it's really not the main thing. I definitely think this is an interesting question because I think, you know, there's the popular misconception that social media is the best way to make money, or it's like the only way that people with an audience online make money. And that's really far from it. Like a lot of YouTubers might make money from YouTube, but they also might make money from merch and a bunch of other things that they sell too. Or they might also do like commercial photos and videos for brands as well. So yeah, it's not always just like what you see on the top side. It's not always like the cover of the book, I suppose you would say. There's a couple other things I do here and there for money and like what I do for work. There's a, you know, I sell presets for my photo edits. If you scroll back through my Instagram, you can see that I like to change my style every so often. So there's different presets I've released over time of like more saturated color stuff and then also some more like moody desaturated stuff like I currently have on my Instagram. There's a whole multitude of things that we do for work. As our friend Pete would say, diversified portfolio is one of his favorite things to say, but it's so true. Like you don't have all your eggs in one basket because, you know, at the end of the day, who knows how long Instagram's going to last in reality, which is kind of scary because a lot of people base their lives and their fortune and their income in that. But, you know, things change. Like we didn't have Instagram years ago and all of a sudden it came up and who knows, it might just disappear as fast again. I know it's a very kind of off topic, odd answer to that, but yeah, it's hard to explain exactly what I do for work, but that's the general gist of what I do for work. Next question comes from Life by Jordana. If you could only get one Canon RF lens, which one would it be? This is tricky. This is tricky because in the new Canon RF lens lineup, for those of you who are unaware, that's the new mirrorless lenses that Canon has brought out. You know, that's a really tricky question because there's so many good ones in there. But I really think that the lens that I use all the time is the 24-70 f2.8. It's honestly one of the best lenses I've ever used. It's so useful for everything. You can take landscapes, portraits, product photography. You can do video with it. It is just awesome. I actually just sold my EF 24-70 2.8 and I just purchased the RF 24-70 2.8. So I think that is my answer. If I could only own one, it would be a 24-70 2.8. And it doesn't have to be Canon. If you shoot Sony or Nikon or Fuji or anything else, that is my absolute number one recommended lens because it's so good for everything. Stepping out of that question and straight into the next one from Nat_Quartz. They said, what camera do you use? So right now, I actually currently shoot on the Canon EOS R, which is Canon's first mirrorless camera that they brought out. I've been shooting on that one for about a year now, and it's really good. I love it. It's a fantastic camera. But I do currently have on order at the time of this podcast recording an R5, the Canon R5, which is the new one they just released this year. It is fantastic. It is just insane. I've had the opportunity to work with Canon and do a road trip across the country with them. And I had that camera for 7 weeks to play around with. And it was mind-blowingly good. So I had to get one. But unfortunately, they're a little hard to get. And so, yeah, back-ordered at the moment. But right now, I'm using the Canon EOS R and I love it. Before I had the EOS R, I was using the Canon 6D Mark II, which is also a really great camera. It's full frame, has a flip-out touchscreen, which was a really big selling point to me. And I had that camera for quite a while, and I really, really enjoyed it as well. But, you know, as I progressed and was starting to do more photography for work, I wanted a camera with a little bit better low-light performance and a little bit more megapixels for client work and things like that. So, yeah. Got a question here from Curtis and Chelsea. Shout out to our friends in Lethbridge there. And they asked, who is the big spoon? This is obviously a question about Nikki and I. And seeing as she's not here, she doesn't get a chance to answer this. But honestly, I'm going to say that for the most part, Nikki would be the big spoon, even though she is the smaller of the two people. One, she's got long hair. Long hair gets all in your face if you are the person who is the big spoon for the person who is a little spoon who has long hair. So I don't want to have just a whole face full of hair. Number two, Nikki always seems to complain that my like chest is spiky or prickly or whatever because I don't want to have a big, dank, hairy chest. Hopefully that's not too much information for you. But yeah, so there you go. Little spoon over here. And I also really like back scratches. So, you know, that's just how I roll. Got a really great question here from CTTrailer227. When did you know you wanted a career in photography and videography? Now, this is actually a really good question because for a lot of years, I intentionally didn't want this, which I know sounds kind of weird and backwards, but Let me explain. So for a long time, before I was doing this, I was doing graphic design and advertising. I studied that for 4 years at university back in Australia on the Sunshine Coast, which is this super chill little beach area. And then when I finished my degree, I got a job doing graphic design and advertising and working in marketing teams. And I've worked for gyms, I've worked for universities, I've worked for trade schools. I've done a bunch of different stuff. And throughout that, like, I started taking photos and I really enjoyed photography. And I actually started off with a Nikon, the D3300, which is a camera a lot of people start off with. And, you know, it's a great learning camera, and I wasn't sure if I was going to enjoy photography a ton, so I didn't want to invest like a crazy amount of money to start with. And also, when you're starting photography, you don't need the best of the best, because your photos are going to suck, so it doesn't really matter what camera you have. It's just about the learning experience and having fun, and, you know, you want to have something that you enjoy using. So I started off with that. I was taking photos of bugs and landscapes and my friends and cars and all that kind of stuff. Throwback to old school Ben, big car guy here. At the time, I used to own a 2005 WRX, and it was slammed, and it was super loud, and it was super rad. But anyway, getting back to photography, I had the Nikon for a lot of years, and I really enjoyed having it. I probably thought that I was taking the best photos in the world at the time, but now when I look back on those photos from some of my trips, I'm just like, God, these suck. Why did I shoot it like that? But that's all kind of part of the learning experience, I think. But yeah, I've done like a couple of trips with that Nikon. I went all around Iceland. I traveled a bit of Norway and Sweden. I've been to Hong Kong with that camera. And it wasn't until I decided that I really wanted to get better at photography, and I felt like I kind of outgrown that Nikon, that I purchased my Canon 6D Mark II. And that was when I was coming to Canada. And I knew I wanted to like up my photography and like have a better camera. So that's the one I purchased, and it was full frame, and it was the only one at the time that was a full frame camera with a flip out touchscreen. And I didn't own a Canon at that point, so it meant selling my Nikon and my lenses and fully switching over to Canon. And it was honestly the best thing I ever did. The Canon interface is so much easier to use. The colors are so much better. The autofocus is just epic. But yeah, I was really concerned that if I started doing photography as a job, that I would kind of lose passion for it. And so for a lot of years, I intentionally didn't try and make money from it. A few friends were suggesting that, like, you know, maybe I could do portraits, or someone suggested I could do like weddings or events or things like that. And I was always just really like against it, because I was terrified of losing a passion for something that I really, really loved because it became my job. Because I kind of felt a little bit like that about graphic design too, because I used to love drawing, and I used to just, like, you know, love creating little images and things like that. And then once graphic design became my job, I tended to like not really do that the same, and I still don't really like draw that much anymore. So it's kind of interesting that I went through that with graphic design. Essentially, for a lot of years, I just decided not even to try and make money with photography. I just had fun with it, and I think that's a really important thing that people should do too, is you shouldn't like pick up a camera and immediately be like, how do I make money with this? It's the same as buying anything else. For the most part, you don't pick up a brand new bicycle and think, I'm going to be the BMX world champion and that's my only goal. Like, your goal is to like have fun on it and learn to ride it and just enjoy the process and, like, you know, just enjoy having it. That's kind of how I felt about photography as well for a very, very long time. It was actually only about, you know, 2 years ago that I started to like seriously consider doing photography for work. And that's because I was working managing social media for a big tourism company here in Canada. And, you know, I started to understand how I could do it. I think that my understanding of how I could do it without losing passion came from working within the industry already. And I learned that there were different forms of photography and ways that I could do it in a way that I would love. And I think that that's kind of why I've come to love product photography and giving stuff a story so much, is that it's not the photography I was doing when I started. I still love doing landscape stuff. I love traveling. I love taking photos of my friends and all kinds of different things. But product photography, it's not something that I want to like post on Instagram for the most part. I really enjoy the process of it, but it's different to what I would just want to post for pleasure. So I suppose to wrap up the answer after my long mumbling along there, it took me a long time. It was probably like 6 or 7 years before I thought that I could turn it into a job, or I suppose that I decided I could turn it into a job. And I'm very glad I did, because I absolutely love my job now. It's fantastic. I have a lot of fun with it. You know, I can choose my own hours. It's fantastic. And I get to work with the people and the clients and the products that I want to, which is great, because I'm not sitting at a desk 9 to 5 like I used to do. And it's just so much better. I absolutely love it. But at the same time, like, it's not for everyone. I think it's worth giving it a go. But you just need to find a balance between passion and work and keeping those two things separated, because it is very easy to lose passion for something if you're doing it all the time. Anyway, hopefully that answers that question for you. I know that was kind of a long one, but I figured it just needed a little bit of a backstory for it. The next question kind of ties in with that one a little bit. And Chris Ronak asks, who do you take inspiration from? Now, it's like, I don't really follow a lot of product photographers on Instagram. I think that, like, I'm quite happy with my own product photography style, but I think the inspiration I draw is from the creative sides of photography that maybe I'm like not good at, or things that I would love to learn from. So I'm just going to rattle off a couple of names here that I think you guys should check out because their work is absolutely incredible. Number one, Aaron Brimhall. Like, his handle is Aaron B. Hall. The man has the most incredible automotive and movement photography I have ever seen. His stuff is gnarly. And coming from someone that is a big car guy, I've always had modified cars, I've always had motorcycles, I rode dirt bikes growing up, road bikes, you know, like, I've just always been around engine stuff, and seeing his work is just mind-blowing. So big inspiration from that man. His work is insane. Number two, can't go without mentioning Mr. Garrett King on Instagram. His name is Short Stash. The man is just a god with colors and tones, and like every single photo he uploads onto Instagram is a straight banger. Like, he never uploads anything that I look at and I'm like, eh, you could have done better. Like, everything is insane every single time. And he has a unique perspective on the world. And I think it's really interesting, not just like the color side of it and how he shoots, but his perspective on how he shoots regular activities and makes them look insane is just fantastic. So Short Stash is another one that I really, really recommend you guys checking out, and a big inspiration. Another person that I've kind of recently discovered who has some insane work is Jeff Coombs. This man has the wildest scenes. He shoots underwater, under frozen ice, like in the winter, with an underwater housing for his camera. And he gets the most incredible scuba diving shots I have ever seen. His grid is so clean. His colors are always so good. He always like removes little bits and distracting parts from the images, and it's just fantastic. He has probably some of the best prints I have ever seen. So massive shout out to Jeff Coombs. His work is insane. Now, I don't have an underwater housing for my camera, and realistically, I'm probably not going to be shooting the stuff that he's shooting anytime soon. But I think it's really interesting to follow people who are doing stuff that's so different to you, that's just so creative and just makes you go, wow. Because when you're looking at that stuff, it just gets you like fired up and gets those creative juices flowing, and it just gets me amped to see work like that. So massive shout out to Jeff. Definitely check out his work as well. Now, I know I've mentioned like those three creators, but you know, I still get a lot of inspiration from all my friends that I follow too. Everyone has their own style. Everyone has their own niche. You know, like, people see the world in a different way, and I even think that that's a really interesting and inspiring thing to follow along with. Like, some of my friends, they'll go to the exact same location that I've gone to, and I'll be standing next to them, and they'll get shots and they'll edit them so differently to how I see the world. And I just find that so interesting that everyone sees the world in a different way. And I think there's a lot of inspiration that you can draw from that too. So I love to surround myself with different people who are like that and who shoot differently, and following them on Instagram. So even if they're just my homies, I think it's super cool. Our next question comes from Cass the Wildflower, and she says, how do you both manage working and keeping your work organized in the van? Now, I suppose this is probably a question for past us, not current us, because we're living in an apartment right now. But when we were living in the van, you know, it was definitely an interesting process. And I think that's part of the reason why we've moved into the apartment for the winter, is that we just needed a little bit of a break from van life. Because, you know, not only was everything that happened to us in the last like year kind of intense, but even just like the work side of it was starting to build up a little bit more. Nick and I were starting to shoot regularly for a few brands that we're aligned with and we work with a lot. So we have like recurring clients. So then when they send us products, we have to have somewhere to put those products so then we can take photos of them. And then we also wanted to get more into lighting. So then we need to purchase lights and stuff like that. And just the amount of gear that we have has increased over time. And, you know, a van has very limited space inside it, especially when there's two people, a dog, all of your like cooking utensils and all of your clothes and everything you own in one space, and then you add on top of that stuff that you need to shoot for work, it just kind of gets a little bit overwhelming. For the most part in the van, what we would do is we would have the stuff that we were working on underneath the bed at the back. Like that's where we'd store like stuff we had to shoot for work or our work stuff. File wise and being organized with that, you know, it's a little bit scary having all of your lives in one vehicle, because like in a worst case scenario, let's say something happens to the van and it burns to the ground, everything you own and every piece of data, every photo you've ever taken, every document, like everything burns to the ground, which is terrifying. Nikki and I both use Google Drive so that we have somewhere safe to put all of our files. We have all of our photos backed up. Everything lives online. In the worst case scenario that everything physical disappears, we have everything online. As far as being organized between the two of us, a lot of the times that I'll help Nikki out with her shoots or she'll help me out with my shoots. So it just really comes down to communication, but that's pretty easy when you are living within arm's reach of your spouse or partner for a year and a half. Now that we're in the apartment, it's a little bit different, but you know, still relatively similar. We have like two kind of workstations, basically. We have one desk up at the window covered in plants. And then we also like to sit at our like island in the kitchen and work there too. And we have a bunch of shelves behind us for our gear and all the stuff we need to access, like hard drives and all those kinds of things. So that's kind of how we stay organized. I know it's a very hard thing to explain without a visual. So I actually think Nikki has a couple of YouTube videos on like organizing the van. I have one about like how we work in the van. So if you guys are interested in checking that out, you can always go and find that on our YouTubes as well. So you can just look up Nikki Bigger on YouTube, or you can look me up, Ben War on YouTube. Sac1Jane. I have no idea how to pronounce that. I want to see your color grading and editing process. I'm not going to be able to show you that on here, unfortunately, but maybe I could do a YouTube video on that in the future, or maybe like an Instagram TV video or something like that. Usually the way that I'll edit a lot of my photos, there's a particular way that I shoot, which obviously makes my style mine, but I also usually start my edit with a preset. Shout out to myself. You can go on my website, benward.com/presets, and you can purchase those. But usually I'll start with a preset as a base edit, and then I will tweak every single photo from there. I'll use a lot of the brush tool, a lot of gradients and things like that. So that's kind of how I do a lot of my editing. Hopefully that helps. It's kind of hard to explain that over a podcast. Next question is from sunny.visions. Shout out to my boy Sunny. He asked, what has been your favorite project so far? And this is a really, really tricky question. I've worked on a lot of really awesome projects that I have loved. I suppose the two that really come to mind, I don't think I can choose one. Two that come to mind, the first one is, and this is in no order, by the way, the Canon road trip I did across the country from the East Coast to the West Coast of Canada in 30 days. It was a really, really awesome trip. So we worked with Canon to promote the R5 and the R6 camera and all of the new RF glass, gave people an opportunity to try out those cameras hands-on in like a one-on-one experience, which was super, super cool. That was a really fun project, something very different. I really, really enjoyed that. So that's definitely up there among some of my favorite projects, and also because it was a little bit different. I'm very extroverted. I love talking to people. So it was a really great opportunity for me to just go and talk to people about cameras literally all day for 30 days and just have a rad time. So that being different to the normal commercial work that I do, I really, really enjoyed that and the process of it. So that was a ton of fun. And I think that one of the other favorites up there for me is a shoot that I did, I think it was like a year and a half, 2 years ago now. It was with Volvo Canada and also Northern BC Tourism, like Northern British Columbia Tourism. And I actually did this project with a good friend of mine, Matthew Littlewood. If you want to see him on Instagram, if you don't know him already, it's littlewood.photography. He does some fantastic work. But the two of us were actually shooting the Volvo V60 cross-country wagon through some beautiful landscape areas in Northern British Columbia. And we also did some tourism work for Northern BC Tourism as well. And that project was just a ton of fun. You know, like I loved being on the road. I loved doing an adventure with a really great friend of mine. And we got to like create some cool and different content too. It's like being a car guy, I've never owned a Volvo in the past, but there's still something so interesting about shooting automotive stuff. And I really, really enjoyed that. So I'd love to do some more automotive stuff in the future. It was just a ton of fun. I really enjoyed it. So that project was also a lot of fun. There's a ton more. I could honestly go on for ages about all of the rad projects I've done. I've been very, very fortunate to have had some great opportunities, but those are the two that like really come to mind first. Mr. Mitch.Baxi. Hey, Mitch, how you doing? He says, when are you coming back to Oz so we can have a beer? So for those of you who are unaware, I don't know how you could be, but I'm actually originally from Australia. I've been in Canada for almost 3 years now. I actually haven't been home since I got here. That was pretty much 3 years ago. So time has passed a lot. And unfortunately, due to the current state of the world, I actually have no idea when I will even be able to go home. Australia is really strange right now. If I was to go home, I couldn't leave again, which is very odd to me. You have to like ask for permission to leave Australia right now. I actually have no idea when I will be coming home or when I would even have the opportunity to come home again. It's definitely a scary thing because if I was to go home, obviously I've got my family and friends there, but that means that I have no idea when I could come back and see Nikki. And, you know, that's definitely not ideal. So for the foreseeable future, I will be here in Canada. Sorry, Mitch. We can have a beer over Skype or something. Got another question here, kind of similar to an earlier one, but I do think it's a really important topic to touch on. This is from Hunter J. Duncan. He says, what's a piece of advice you would give to your past self when you were just starting out? You know, I think I like somewhat covered that earlier, but at the same time, I also think that a really, really important thing is you're going to suck until you don't. And being okay with that, like being okay with the learning process is something that you have to be okay with. Because no one just crushes anything the very first time they do it. And especially with going from working for someone else to working for yourself, that's a huge transition, massive learning curve there. There's a lot of stuff to screw up. There's a lot of stuff that to learn. And, you know, I just think that patience is a really, really, really important thing to remember throughout that entire process, that it does take time. One thing to remember is that all of the people that you look up to on social media, no one just like exploded out of nowhere and crushed it immediately. All of the people that I mentioned earlier who inspired me, a lot of those people didn't just start off doing epic stuff. Like, you know, they've got their own stories and things like that and how they got to it. And quite often you can actually find those through podcasts and stuff like that where they've done interviews. But everyone starts in the same boat, not having any clue what to do and making it up from there and learning as you go. So just trust yourself, trust the process, and just make friends and chat with people and like build a community and learn from each other. That's kind of what I say. The last question I've got here actually comes from one of my favorite van life families ever. They are some of the nicest people I have ever met and the most welcoming and the most loving. They are our van quest. Jake and Gianna are just the coolest mom and dad ever. So if you guys are looking for mom and dad goals on Instagram, or you're looking for van life family goals, or just some cool people, check out our van quest. And anyway, the question that comes from them is, what's the best part of your life right now? And this is a big question. This is a really tough one to end on, which is kind of why I left it till last, actually. I wasn't exactly sure how to answer this. It's really tricky. I think the best part of life is realizing all of the work that Nikki and I have put in has paid off. And we're now, after a year and a half of like pushing ourselves so hard, that we're now in a position where we're actually able to do exactly what we want to do for a living. And that is so cool. To be able to do stuff every single day that we love and that is our job, that is the coolest thing ever. And it makes me so happy and so proud. I spent a lot of years doing jobs that I wasn't super stoked on. You know, like I woke up being like, oh, I have to go to work. Or like, oh my God, thank God it's Friday. I don't have to work for 2 days. Whereas now I wake up every single day and I'm so excited to do my job. And it's so, just so fulfilling and so awesome. So that's definitely the best part of my life. It's not like a physical thing that I have. It's not something that I've done, I suppose, like an event or anything like that. But just getting to the position that we are at is so fulfilling and it makes me super proud of myself. And I think that's the best part of life. And it's also really sick that I get to share that with someone that I love. Like sharing that with Nikki and she's in the same boat as me is just unreal. The fact that we both get to do exactly what we want to do all the time is just honestly the best feeling. So that's a really good question. Thank you so much for that, guys. That is a really, really good one. I actually think that I'm going to end this podcast on that note because I think that was a really great way to end it. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this episode. I wanted to, you know, we could have gone on for ages. There's more questions I could have read out, but I think that these ones were just some really good ones to focus on for now. Let me know if you enjoyed this, if you'd like to hear another episode like this again in the future. Maybe you've got more questions. Maybe you've got different questions. Let me know. Shoot me a DM on Instagram. thank you so much for listening and plugging into your ear holes. I really appreciate you guys being here. It's super cool that we get to do this podcast and share information with you guys. And I feel like we're, you know, building a bit of a community. I think that's super sick. So as always, if you really enjoyed it, please give us a good rating, share it with your friends. If you are going to post it on Instagram, on your stories, I would really appreciate it. I love seeing that. Please tag myself and Nikki, and we would love to reshare that too. Other than that, have an epic day. Enjoy yourselves, and we'll catch you in the next one. Cheers.